It has been reported that airlines such as Lufthansa are allegedly spending as much as 1.5 million rands on each flight to divert their aircraft for refueling in Durban because of a continuing shortage of jet fuel at OR Tambo International. The costs are compounded by Airports Company South Africa, which is refusing to waive the extra landing and handling fees that airlines accrue from landing at two airports. We discuss this now with aviation expert Desmond Latham. Desmond, a very good morning to you and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what's the status currently? I mean, how bad is the jet fuel shortage at OR Tambo? We know that some time back we had heard of some flights that had cancelled altogether.
It's stabilised, but there's going to be a problem there for some time now because of the delivery of fuel which comes by rail. The jet fuel comes by rail, not by the single pipeline from Durban to Johannesburg, which you're probably aware of. There's a large pipeline running along the side of the N3. That's where diesel and petrol goes. So it comes by railway. And, of course, Transnet has had significant problems. And then, secondly, the storms in Durban damaged infrastructure. So it was like a double whammy, I guess you'd say. Thirdly, there's been erratic use of aviation over the last few months. And what happens with fuels, you have to buy ahead, obviously, because they're buying hundreds of thousands of litres at a time. And some of the airlines have just miscalculated how much fuel they'll need. And Lufthansa, I'm afraid to say, is one of them. Some of the other airlines, like British Airways, that have two flights a day, have been able to manage their logistics a little better. So it's not a simple matter of just saying, you know, it's AXA's fault or it's Transnet's fault. It's a combination of factors here.
Well, is it true that AXA is refusing to waive the extra landing and handling fees that airlines are accruing from having to land at two airports to sort out the fueling issue?
As far as AXA is concerned, they're in the hole at the moment because of the COVID shutdown. So they way off their revenue models and they're in some degree of trouble, actually, financially. So they would not be happy about waiving any fees at this stage. And South Africa has some of the highest landing fees in the world. So you can see that the operations in terms of state-owned entities which oversee aviation have run into significant headwinds in the last year and a half. And particularly in the last few months, in aviation, we're looking very closely at how things are being managed, and we're not satisfied. And the operators and the owners of airlines are even less satisfied about this. So there's no flexibility built in because there's no room to move. These authorities built themselves a financially viable nest, if you like, over the years, state-owned entities, the management and so on. And they have very little room to move when it comes to trimming costs, I'm afraid to say. They've got themselves into this hole, and it's becoming a little bit of a problem to manage when there's a crisis. And we've said for years now that we need to plan around, you know, stability and instability issues. And I'm afraid some of the state-owned entities have just failed to do this, as we can see from Eskom, Transnet. There's a long list, Portnet, etc. So it's part of a big picture here. It's not just aviation and the airlines complaining. There's a whole big picture that's emerged for us in aviation. On the 13th, I must just tell you, on the 13th of this month, a few days ago, South Africa shut down its controlled airspace, high-level airspace for commercial airlines, converted it into uncontrolled airspace, which means that airlines flying over us at high level were actually having to separate themselves instead of air traffic control taking control and separating planes. Now, that's not unusual through Africa. If you fly through Africa, most of the airspace is uncontrolled. So airlines, the pilots are used to talking to each other. 39,000 feet over DRC, for example, where it's not controlled and so on. So, but South Africa is, you know, a very complex airspace. We're very busy. So that is another example, and that's a separate division called ATNS. It's the Air Transport Navigation Service, which is responsible for that. Another state-linked entity that, for some reason, just shut it, you know, they removed their staff. We're not sure exactly what happened. They have a NOTAM, which is notice to airmen. It's called NOTAM. It's a document, a warning to pilots, basically. Instead of which they, you know, the separation will be managed by pilots themselves. So you can see the picture I'm trying to explain here.
Absolutely. So what kind of time frame are we looking at? And is there anything that government can do?
No, because there's a number of things have come together simultaneously. The first thing is the NATRIF and the SAPRIF people down in Durban Port are changing their models and actually closing down the refineries to some extent, because South Africa is a very small refinery area. We're one of the few in Africa that has a refinery, for example, but it's become more viable for private companies, which supply fuel, by the way, to these airlines. It's not governments. It's sold by private companies. They just use the state-owned entities' infrastructure to do that. But they've indicated that they're going to shut down the refinery and purchase, you know, on the open market. But the problem for that is strategic for us, obviously, because we're at the bottom end of Africa. So the fuel supply is, we're all concerned about this, obviously, because of the price of jet fuel, which has gone up by 30% over the last few months, and it continues, will probably continue to go up. And then, of course, the supply chain issues around the world when it comes to delivery of tankered fuels, where we, you know, so far south in Africa, that strategically it's concerning that we're losing that refinery capacity. So, no, the short answer is no, it's not going to get a lot better. We think it's stabilized quite a bit because the purchasing of fuel has been, the logistics has been attended to by these airlines. But they have to, they're part of a quota system on fuel. And you don't just switch a button there. We're talking, you know, about hundreds of thousands of liters per plane. So to change this takes months, you know, to increase and improve delivery and change your logistics, change your supplier sometimes, you know, and so on. So, no, it's not going to get... It's not going to stabilize to what was going on in 2019 before COVID, I don't think, in the next few months. No.
How likely, then, is it for more airlines to say, well, it's just not worthwhile flying to Johannesburg?
Unlikely, because over time, airline business, they take risk over time. It's not an immediate thing. So they take losses. You heard over COVID period that some of the airlines were flying two people in a large passenger jet. And that's so they can secure the routes. The routes are very lucrative over time. And so the short answer is it's still competitive in Southern Africa, and everyone knows that when COVID finally dissipates, that a lot more tourists will arrive here. So you'll see Lufthansa and Qantas and Qatar and these other airlines continuing, Emirates, continuing to fly here. So I don't think that's a real danger, no. The issue that is happening here is that we're concerned by the dilapidation that's creeping into the system. You're probably not aware, but many of the smaller aerodromes which have been maintained in South Africa are falling apart and actually being sold off by the state. AXA owns quite a few of them and the land, and to make money. Secondly, AXA has gone on record in its large financial results, for example, saying that they're going to concentrate more on non-aviation revenue streams. And so why are they called AXA, I ask you, airports company South Africa? You know, the validity here, the planning, the strategy, the outlook, and so on, I think, and we think, as in the aviation sector, that there's signs of destabilization going on. So the airlines will continue flying them because it's, over time it's lucrative. And don't forget, Qatar and Emirates are in deep competition, and there's almost straight-up combat between those two based on their political differences they're having. So they're willing to compete with each other right to the end of the road. And if you know anything about what's going on in Qatar and UAE and the politics of the place, you'll understand what I'm saying. So they're willing to keep flying here, whatever losses made, just to spite each other. I don't think there's going to be, people won't flee. But the problem is for us that we are a high cost area. It costs a lot of money to get planes down here. And the sentiment is what we're talking about here, the negative.
Yeah. Desmond, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.